Hello all, my name is Paul Weber and I would like to welcome you to this teleclass, Nosocomial Transmission of Scabies. We are recording this lecture in advance of the teleclass date because both our speaker and I will be traveling at the time of its scheduled broadcast, and we didn't want to take the chance of missing the broadcast. Last year, I read an article on nosocomial scabies that I found to be fascinating. It's a topic that doesn't come up all that often, and yet now that I'm aware of it, I see references all over the place. The author of the article was Dr. Helena Maltazou, and it is available to you as a PDF file with the slides and handouts of this teleclass in your members area. Dr. Maltazou is the head of the Department for Interventions in Healthcare Facilities at the Hellenic Center for Disease Control and Prevention in Athens, Greece. She received her MD and her PhD from the University of Crete and her residency in pediatrics from the University of Athens. She studied infections in transplant recipients at the MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston and infectious diseases at the University of the Mediterranean in Marseille, France. She has authored or co-authored at least 29 articles that I could find, and it is a very great honor to have her join our teleclass faculty today. So to present the teleclass, Nosocomial Transmission of Scabies from Athens, Greece, I am pleased to present Dr. Helena Maltazou. Dr. Maltazou.
Yes. Dear colleagues, good morning. In a 40-minute presentation, I will cover the topic of nosocomial scabies. In particular, I will present the epidemiology of scabies, both in the community and in the healthcare sector, its diagnosis and treatment, and also preventive measures for its containment. Slide number two. Scabies is a highly contagious parasitic dermatosis with a worldwide distribution affecting approximately 300 million people per year. This disease affects all ages, races, and social classes, and it causes epidemics during wars, poverty, poor hygiene conditions, overcrowding, malnutrition, and sexual promiscuity. Outbreaks have been recorded in overcrowded closed settings, especially in the absence of hygiene conditions. Outbreaks have been recorded in long-term care facilities, nursing homes, hospitals, among soldiers, and less often among school children within classrooms. Scabies is caused by the agent Sarcoptes scabi variation hominis, which is an arthropod. This is in slide 3. This arthropod is an obligate human ectoparasite which is host specific for humans. This parasite completes its life cycle on human skin and it is not a vector of infectious agents. Transmission is accomplished through fertilized female parasites. The female parasite attaches in human skin, burrows helicoid tunnels of several centimeters in the epidermis through cytolysis but never below. There it lays 2 to 3 eggs per day and also excretes an agent that causes the intense pruritus which is characteristic for scabies. It takes 17 days for the mite to maturate. Females survive for up to 6 weeks in human bodies, whereas males die soon after. The parasite survives in the inanimate environment for up to 4 to 5 days, which is very important to remember when we consider infectious control measures, and it is not visible. In slide number 4, we can see the mite, which is a tiny arthropod with 4 pairs of short legs and an oval sac-like body. The female is larger than the male. In slide number 5, we can see 2 eggs. Slide number 6. Scabies is transmitted from person to person through direct skin contact. We should note that persistent contact is required, and scabies is unusually transmitted through social contact. Scabies is frequently transmitted among sexual partners and among members of the same family, where attack rates up to 38% have been recorded. Crusted scabies, which is the most serious type of scabies, is also transmitted through sharing of clothes, linens, and beds. A very important differentiation between classic scabies and crusted scabies is that in the former, classic scabies, there are found 10 to 15 female mites per case only, whereas in the crusted Norwegian scabies, up to 2 million mites are found per case. The high number of mites per case in the crusted scabies facilitate the transmission of this type through environment and explains the high contagiousness of this type. Slide number 7. Patients with crusted scabies act as a reservoir for the mite, since the crust flake off and contaminate the environment. However, in classic scabies, the environment plays a minor role. Animal scabies is caused by different parasites than those that cause the human scabies. These animal parasites may cause trans-infestation of humans, but humans are not hosts, since these parasites die within 2 days and do not multiply in human skin. When a human is infested with animal parasites, no specific treatment is required. Slide number 8. The prevalence of scabies is underestimated worldwide, and this is mainly because scabies is not a notifiable disease in most countries. The highest prevalence in developed countries have been noted in a village in Spain, and it was a 4.2% prevalence rate. Increasing trends have been noted during the last 2 decades in several European countries and in the US. In the Lower Silesia region in Poland, the prevalence raised from 7.9 to 80 per 100,000 people from the 1990 to the 1997. Increasing trends have been recorded also in urban areas in the UK and the US. Scabies is more frequent among children, young adults, women, within family members, and during autumn and winter. And it is also frequently found in patients attending sexually transmitted diseases clinics in association with other sexually transmitted diseases. Slide number 9. Scabies is a public health problem in developing countries, however, where prevalence rates up to 8.8% have been noted. In the Solomon Islands and the Aboriginal populations in Australia, prevalence rates among children go up to 25%. In poor populations, there is a risk for superinfection by Streptococcus or Staphylococcus, and this is associated with an increased morbidity and occasionally a fatal outcome. Superinfection is also common among patients with AIDS and homeless people with scabies. Slide number 10. Homeless people frequently encounter dermatologic problems, and scabies is also a frequent problem among them. In a study conducted in France in 1996, 56% out of 189 homeless people were infested with scabies due to poor personal hygiene, close contact within shelters, and deficient medical attention and care. Thus, physicians should consider scabies in homeless. Let's move to the next slide. Residents in nursing homes are also at increased risk for crusted scabies. These patients frequently face treatment failures when they receive immunosuppressive treatment, whereas outbreaks are common within nursing homes. In a survey that was conducted among 130 chronic healthcare institutions in Canada, 20% recorded cases of scabies among their residents during a one-year period, and 11% of them had also healthcare workers infested. In this survey, it was found that large institutions, in terms of number of residents and staff, were at increased risk. 23% of them had written protocols for the management of scabies, and only 11% had written protocols for mass treatment during scabies outbreaks. Slide number 12. Nosocomial scabies is not uncommon. We recently reviewed this topic and we found a total of 19 nosocomial outbreaks in a total of 16 hospitals published in the PubMed. The mean duration of these outbreaks was 14.5 weeks with a range from 4 to 52 weeks. In all these outbreaks, the source was an immunocompromised patient, HIV or AIDS patient, or an elderly resident in a nursing home on long-term steroid treatment. All sources were admitted from the community with crushed scabies. Most HIV/AIDS patients were initially misdiagnosed with seborrheic dermatitis or eczema, whereas scabies was suspected when no response to treatment was observed. Slide number 13. In most of these nosocomial outbreaks, especially when elderly were the source of infection, investigation began when healthcare workers developed pruritus. The mean number of cases per outbreak was 18, with a range from 3 to 82, and the mean attack rate among patients was 12.9%, with a range from 4 to 40%. The mean number of infested healthcare workers per outbreak was 39, with a range from 6 to 278, and the mean attack rate among healthcare workers was 34%, with a range from 6.9 to 88%. Slide number 14. Infested healthcare workers concerned mainly nurses, mainly because due to their close contact with patients during sponge bathing or applications of lotions. In an outbreak that occurred in a large U.S. hospital, risk factors for acquisition of scabies among healthcare workers were being a nurse, a physical therapist, a healthcare worker with extensive contact with patients with scabies, or working with AIDS patients. Notification of work-related diseases in the UK networks revealed that 11% out of a total of 5,606 cases of notified work-related infections during a three-year period from 2000 to 2003 concerned scabies. Scabies was second only to diarrheal disease. Slide number 16. For the containment of nosocomial outbreaks, a high workload is required in order to control it, whereas inconvenience and difficulties are frequently countered in order to complete contact tracing. Frequently, nosocomial outbreaks are prolonged due to treatment failures because of resistance to anti-scabies treatment or reinfestation of previous treated patients. Slide number 17. In an outbreak that occurred in a large university hospital in Brazil in 1992, from one case of crushed patients, 22% of 200 laundry workers were infested due to disregarding preventive measures. Attack rate among nurses was 8%, among housekeepers 10%, and among lab personnel only 1%. A total number of 278 out of 1,620 healthcare workers were infested from all over the hospital. The mean absence per case was 5.3 days. A total of 6,625 lost hours were lost. And the total cost for the containment of this outbreak was $50,000. Let's move to the next slide. In a U.S. nosocomial outbreak, a total of 981 people were treated, whereas in another large outbreak in a Veteran Affairs hospital in the U.S.,
A total of 112 patients were infested during a 12-month period that included three waves. The second and the third waves of this outbreak were developed due to contact with an unrecognized case from the previous waves. We should keep in mind that undiagnosed patients and people from the community may transmit scabies within hospitals, especially from developing countries with high prevalence rates. Slide number 19. Factors that facilitate the onset and prolongation of scabies outbreaks within hospitals include the fact that scabies is not a notifiable disease, the epidemiology in developed countries is highly unknown because of admission of unrecognized cases from the community, increasing numbers of immunocompromised patients, and the long incubation period of scabies. Slide number 20. Additional factors that facilitate the onset of scabies outbreaks within hospitals include the unfamiliarity of healthcare workers with atypical manifestation of scabies, diagnostic delay, therapeutic failures and reinfestation, and incomplete contact tracing. Slide number 21. Nosocomial outbreaks are associated with an increased economic burden, mainly because of the requirement for isolation and infection control measures, prolongation of hospitalization and additional medication, postponing of selective admissions and ward closures, and the high number of working hours required for the containment and contact tracing. For example, for the containment of two outbreaks that occurred in Canada, $20,000 and $100,000 US dollars, Canadian dollars, were required for the containment, whereas in a Brazilian outbreak, a total of $50,000 US dollars were required, and these all were 1992 estimates. Slide number 23. Scabies has a long incubation period. 3 to 4 weeks is required from the infestation to the development of symptoms. This can go up to 2 months. However, when this is a case of reinfestation, disease develops up to 3 to 4 days. What is important to remember is that immunity to scabies does not develop. That means in practice, a person can be reinfested several times during his lifetime. Slide 24. Classic scabies manifests with a generalized intensive pruritus, mainly during nighttime. Intensive scratching may occur, and there is always a risk for bacterial superinfections. Burrows are the main pathognomonic findings for classic scabies. These are slightly elevated lines, often with crusts, and are mainly found on hands, especially between fingers, wrists, elbows, penis, axillae, umbilicus, buttocks, and nipples. Burrows extend for several centimeters. Erythematous papules also manifests. A major difference is that in children younger than 1 year and immunocompromised patients, head, palms, and soles are frequently involved, but this is not the case in older children and adults. In slide number 25, we can see a young infant with scabies. We can see the burrows and the papules, and what is characteristic is the eczema-like manifestation of scabies that is found in his face. In slide number 26, we can see burrows on the side of the fingers. In slide number 27, there is a burrow on the sides of the foot. Slide 28, crusted and Norwegian scabies. Crusted scabies is mainly found in immunocompromised patients, HIV or AIDS patients, patients on topical or systemic steroids, but also can be found in organ transplant recipients and leukemic patients, in elderly institutionalized or deliberated patients, and patients with Down syndrome. Immunocompromised patients with scabies may also develop staphylococcal sepsis when they have crusted scabies, and this is associated with an increased mortality. What is important to remember is that patients on topical or systemic steroids, when they develop crusted scabies, they not always develop signs and symptoms, but they may transmit scabies, they still may transmit scabies. Crusted scabies is manifested with scaly lesions that offer a crusty appearance over the skin. In most cases, there is mild or no pruritus at all. Generalized lymphadenopathy is occasionally found, whereas crusted scabies may manifest as erythematous eruption also. Elderly people may have non-specific pruritic lesions that frequently are attributed to senile pruritus, and crusted scabies may develop when long-term topical steroid treatment is administered to these people. In slide number 30, we can see a case of crusted scabies with crusted lesions between fingers. In slide 31, nodular scabies is another type of scabies where nodular pruritic lesions up to 1 centimeter occur, mainly in groin, axilla, and male genitalia. Lesions appear after prolonged infestations and usually persist for weeks or months after treatment, and these lesions are attributed to specific immunologic reaction of the host to the parasite. Bullous scabies is the last type of scabies and usually develops in patients older than 65 years. In the next slide, we can see nodular scabies. Slide number 33. We should suspect scabies when a compatible picture has developed with a slow onset intense pruritus and family history, when there is a resident or a person working in a nursing home, or when we have a cluster of non-specific pruritus cases among healthcare workers. However, diagnosis of scabies should never rely on pruritus only. Slide 34. In case of strong clinical suspicion but no laboratory confirmation, diagnosis may be established when the patient responds to appropriate treatment. Scabies often is misdiagnosed with eczema, atopic or contact dermatitis, drug reaction, impetigo, urticaria, and delusional parasitosis. Slide 35. How is scabies diagnosed? Scabies is diagnosed most often through visualization of mites, eggs, or fecal material in oil preparation of skin scraping from a barrow or material obtained from underneath the nails. What is done is a drop of oil is applied to a newly developed unexcoriated papule or barrow and then scrubbed with a scalpel, and the scrubbings are transferred to a glass slide, a cover slip is applied, and the specimen is examined under low power. This assay has a 10 up to 60% sensitivity, thus several specimens are required. Microscopy may be difficult in classic scabies due to the small number of mites per case. Another assay is in vivo epiluminescence microscopy, where detailed inspection of skin for mites, eggs, and feces, fecal material is done. This is an assay that allows rapid diagnosis and has a high sensitivity and patient convenience. We should keep in mind that cases of scabies may be tested negative. This is mainly because scrubbing may be performed by an inexperienced laboratorian, and severely excoriated lesions may be obtained for examination. Slide 36. Infection control for scabies within hospitals relies mainly on the prompt recognition of a scabies case and the implementation of infection control measures. Slide 37. Infection control measures for classic scabies should be applied for a total of 24 hours following the onset of treatment, and these consist of isolation of the case and use of disposable gloves during patient contact for a 24-hour period following onset of treatment. Routine disinfection practices are the maximum that is needed for room cleaning. Slide 38. Infection control measures for clustered scabies, however, differentiate from those needed from classic scabies because of the high number of mites found per case in clustered scabies and the potential for transmission through environment contamination. When a case of clustered scabies has been identified, this case should be admitted in a hospital both for isolation reasons and for treatment. Cohorting is a feasible option once the case has been diagnosed. Contact precautions should be applied strictly. This consists of use of disposable gloves, long-sleeved gowns, and shoe covers when the healthcare worker cares the patient or touching his clothes and linens. Wash hands should be performed after removal of gloves. We should restrict the number of healthcare workers caring of the case, and healthcare workers should be treated following direct contact with the case. Treated healthcare workers should return to work after completion of treatment. Slide number 39. Fomites should be handled only from persons wearing gloves and gowns. Cloths and linens from patients with clustered scabies used within 5 days before initiation of treatment should be put in special plastic bags, machine washed in hot water for more than 10 minutes, dried and ironed. When there is no dryer machine available, these clothes should be put under sun. What is very important to remember is that linens and cloths should be never sorted. Carpets and furniture should be vacuumed with insecticide spraying, and we should prefer vinyl instead of textile for furniture. Items that cannot be washed should be treated with insecticidal powder and stored in plastic bags for 10 days or in a freezer at minus 20 Celsius grade for 72 hours. Slide number 40. The patient with clustered scabies should be tested again for scabies when he becomes asymptomatic and 2 to 4 weeks following treatment completion. Infection control measures should be discontinued when skin scrapings become negative for 3 consecutive days. When there is persistence of symptoms, we should think of resistance to treatment, reinfestation, or another diagnosis. Always family members and contacts, including sexual contact, should be concurrently treated regardless of symptoms, and homeless suspected with scabies should be also treated. Slide 41. During a nosocomial outbreak of scabies, what should be done is first to find all contact cases and confirm diagnosis. However, diagnosis during an outbreak may rely on clinical findings alone. Suspected cases should be isolated until results are known. Cohorting is also a feasible option for diagnosed cases. We should postpone selective admissions. Contact contact and family members should be treated regardless of symptoms. We should provide written material to healthcare workers caring for patients with scabies. And what is important is that failure to coordinate all this leads to failure to control the outbreak. Slide number 42. Healthcare workers should be educated about the epidemiology, transmission, and the long incubation period of scabies, its clinical manifestations, treatment, and the infection control measures, including the protective equipment that should be used. What is important to remember is that we should inform all healthcare personnel that may be in contact with scabies. This includes physicians, nurses, cleaners, laundry, etc. Slide number 43. We should also inform patients and their contacts about scabies, the epidemiology, way of transmission, and long incubation period, clinical manifestations, diagnosis, treatment, and persistence of pruritus. Slide 44. Treatment of scabies relies on local or systemic agents. Local agents are applied from neck and downwards once per week for 2 up to 3 weeks. The available local agents include permethrin 5% cream, 1% linden lotion, and 6% precipitated sulfur. Permethrin cream is suitable for patients older than 2 months. There is a large experience with this agent for the containment of nosocomial outbreaks, and the major adverse effect is contact dermatitis. Linden lotion has a major drawback, which is neurotoxicity. Thus, we should use linden lotion only in cases resistant to other agents, and we should not give it to pregnant or lactating women, to children, and to highly damaged skin. Precipitated sulfur is suitable for infants younger than 2 months and pregnant or lactating women. Slide number 45. Systemic treatment for scabies relies on ivermectin peros. For crusted scabies, ivermectin should be applied in association with a local agent. In this case, we administer 1 up to 3 doses of 200 microgram per kilogram of ivermectin, and this regimen has been found to be 100% effective with no relapses. In immunocompromised patients, we should add a keratolytic agent. Ivermectin is also suitable for deliberated cases, institutional outbreaks, and severe lesions. It does not cause any serious adverse effects. However, we should not prescribe it for pregnant or lactating women or young children. We should keep in mind, let's go to slide 46, we should keep in mind that pruritus may persist for 2 to 3 weeks following treatment. Thus, for itching alleviation, antihistaminic agents should be also administered. In a systemic, we go to slide 47. In a systemic review of 11 randomized trials that included the previously described agents I presented you, no difference was found in clinical cure rates or adverse effect among various treatment agents. However, permethrin is the preferred regimen because of traditional reviews, the published experience, and mainly because of the experience on nosocomial outbreaks. Slide 48. What is important to remember from this presentation is the fact that scabies is a parasitic dermatosis with worldwide distribution affecting 300 million individuals per year. Scabies can cause large nosocomial outbreaks with considerable morbidity among patients and healthcare workers, associated with a high workload and economic burden for its containment. Unrecognized cases of crusted scabies are the main source for the nosocomial transmission. Factors that facilitate nosocomial transmission include poor knowledge of scabies epidemiology in developed countries, unfamiliarity of healthcare workers with atypical manifestation, long incubation period of scabies, diagnostic delay and incomplete contact tracing and monitoring of cases. Slide 49, conclusions. The containment of a nosocomial outbreak requires prompt recognition and treatment of cases, immediate implementation of infection control measures, contact tracing, simultaneous treatment of all contacts, and prolonged monitoring of cases. Thank you very much for your attendance.
Dr. Maltazu, thank you very much. That was a very thorough presentation. A lot of stuff in there. When we first started communicating last year, I mentioned earlier that I hadn't thought of scabies as a nosocomial issue, but I've since seen several PubMed listings for scabies outbreaks, mostly in long-term care facilities, and many of them in very developed countries.
Of course.
So it doesn't seem to be going away. Is it possible that it can be eradicated, or is it just in the environment as part of the environment?
We cannot eradicate scabies. What we can do is we have to be familiarized with atypical cases and what is the major point in order to prevent or to early contain a nosocomial outbreak is to early recognize a case and, of course, to strictly implement these infectious measures.
Mm. Well, one of the things you mentioned with the infection control measures was the disinfection of a patient room or a resident room with routine disinfection.
This applies only for the classic scabies, where in practice we don't the patients do not disseminate the scabies in the environment. So that's why routine disinfection is okay for them. However, yes. However, for the clustered cases, once the patient is admitted in the hospital, we need to treat the items in the environment with insecticidal powder and to vacuum the carpets and furniture and to treat all the clothes. There are specific infection control measures for clustered scabies because these patients disseminate scabies in the environment.
And in many of these long-term care facilities, the environment is filled with not hard surfaces, but with carpet and
yes.
fabrics and cottons and linens
yes.
and all that sort of thing. It's more like homes. I thank you very much for this. It's been very interesting, and I know that we'll get very good reviews. I hope you'll consider joining us again. So again, thank you to all of you who have joined us, and Dr. Maltazu, a special thank you to you. You got up very early in the morning to do this for us, and I am very grateful.
thank you for the honored invitation. Thank you very much. Also.
Goodbye.
Bye.